The Three Heavens and Earths, Part 2, Bible Students Courses, Course 2, Unit 1, Lesson 8, by Mark D. Vogt. In the previous lesson, we introduced the concept of three heavens and earths, a biblical truth revealed through careful study of Scripture. For many, this truth is difficult to accept, not because it's unclear, but because it challenges long-held assumptions about the age and timeline of creation. Let's dig deeper. The young earth view and its limitations. Many Christians hold to the young earth belief, which teaches that the earth is only about 6,000 years old. This idea became popular in part through Bishop Usher, who tried to calculate the earth's age by tracing biblical genealogies. However, this method has significant problems. Gaps exist in the genealogical records. Not every generation is listed. More importantly, it ignores what God reveals in other parts of Scripture, especially in 2 Peter 3:5-7. They want to be oblivious of this, that there were heavens of old and an earth cohering out of water and through water by the word of God. The then world, being deluged by water, perished. Peter is not talking about Noah's flood here. He's referring to a much earlier destruction, i.e., the disruption, one that occurred between Genesis 1:1 and 1:2, a devastation that left the earth formless and empty, Genesis 1:2. The gap, time between the verses. A vast, unspecified period of time exists between the original creation, Genesis 1:1, and the state of ruin, Genesis 1:2. Supporting clues include Isaiah 45:18, where God says that He did not create the earth a chaos, or waste, yet Genesis 1:2 describes it exactly that way, meaning something must have happened after the original creation to bring about that ruin. While we don't know all of the details, Scripture clearly affirms that the earth is older than 6,000 years and that multiple ages have occurred. The five eons and the day of God. In God's plan, time unfolds across five eons, or ages. The first eon, associated with the first heaven and earth, Genesis 1:1, the second eon, the third eon, and the fourth eon. All three of these unfold during the current heavens and earth. The fifth eon, associated with the third heaven and earth, also called the Day of God. The fifth and final eon is when God's plan reaches its fulfillment, consummation. Many confuse this with so-called eternity, but the Scripture doesn't use words like forever or eternity. In fact, there are no original language words in Hebrew, Aramaic, or Greek that communicate timelessness or unending time. God's plan is aeonian, age-during, not endless in the abstract. But it does have a glorious conclusion. God, all in all. Chronological verses, positional heavens. Scripture also uses the word heaven in two different ways. Chronological heavens, timeline-based. These refer to the three heavens and earths that we have been considering, those that span across the timeline of creation. 1. First, heaven and earth. Genesis 1:1, destroyed in judgment, not Noah's flood. Second, heaven and earth, begins in Genesis 1:2 and includes all of human history. Third, heaven and earth, begins in Revelation 21, a new creation. Positional heavens, location-based. Then there are those that refer to three spatial realms or layers of heaven. 1. First heaven, the atmosphere, where birds and airplanes fly. Second heaven, the cosmos, stars, planets, galaxies. Third heaven, the dwelling place of God, the spiritual realm where He and His celestial beings reside. These positional heavens coexist, unlike the chronological heavens which replace one another through judgment and renewal. Why hasn't God revealed more? As we have already discussed, most of the Scripture focuses on the second heaven and earth, the one we're living in now. That's because, 1. It's where God is currently working out His plan. 2. We couldn't handle more information about the first or third heavens and earth just now. Our limited, time-bound understanding can't grasp what God has done, or will do, in realms far beyond our present experience. A glimpse of glory. Still, God has given us just enough to fill us with wonder and amazement. We are invited to explore His plan, not to figure out every aspect, but to marvel at His grand design and rest in His absolute sovereignty. God has shown us a fleeting glimpse of His handiwork, and it is truly marvelous to behold.